Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Hello again, Jim Gerhardt, along with Bob Williams. And
dang,
we are, of course, pursuing the question, where are we going and why are we in the handbasket? I think we had a good exhibition of why we're in the handbasket or where the handbasket's going with the shenanigans in Congress.
Oh, yeah, it's been a crazy week.
I want to start with a salute to the, especially the Democratic leadership in the Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate. And congratulates them on their, no doubt, enshrinement in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most egregious waste of time and untold millions of dollars in pursuit of an asinine project. And I think, I extend this salute to the, first of all, to the leadership in the Congress. Here, I salute you. And to those in the Senate, I would say, I'm not going to do that. But you know what I mean. Okay.
It's a family life.
Nonverbal communication.
Yeah,
we're
really
doing very well.
It's a just festival of Sicilian hand gestures I was performing there.
Pretty predictable, the result yesterday.
Can you imagine what would happen if during the off-year election the Senate had been won by the Democrats? President would be impeached. I don't know exactly how they, if they had their way, they would ride him out of Washington on a rail, but nevertheless, he would be gone. The country would be in some kind of a chaos because there would be, 65 million people voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And the charge was egregious because if he did what they said he did, this is what is known in diplomacy and in politics as using your leverage. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
Everybody has done it. Heads of state, people lesser than heads of state, to pursue their political agenda, have somehow struck deals with other people.
Yeah, right.
It's just part and parcel of the game. But all of a sudden, the Democrats were hysterical to find something to discredit the president before he had a chance to appoint a new Supreme Court justice. That's my take on it. But anyway, it didn't happen. Of course, what would happen? I think the market would tank if all of a sudden this happened. And what we have here is the fact that if the market tanks, fine with me, with the Wall Street people, but then many Americans, if not most, have their pensions and their income tied to the market.
Everything is tied to that.
Tied to the market. Remember, in 2008, we have 401k.
Yeah.
The 401k, the bottom dropped out of it.
Yeah, banks can recover, but the individuals, they really take a hit, especially if you're close to retirement and you're counting on that money.
You know, your observations on that now, your thoughts. Of course, we're talking about the fact that the president was found.
Well, I echo your, thankfully the Senate did not go to the opposition party last year because it would have really gone a couple of steps further. That's what happened because the Democrats won the House. They took the House, and that's why they got the majority there. It was crazy. It went on a lot longer than it should have.
And of course, Mrs. Pelosi made a horse's butt
of
herself.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's like it's. I'm not saying that people should not have their own opinions, but for goodness sake, it was not the place to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, she is second or third in line to the presidency, and she's, just acting like that.
I talk about the Democrats, and I try to be careful and say the leadership of the Democrats, because this is not the people who belong to the Democratic Party and support the Democratic Party. It's a fine organization with a great history and great agenda and aims. The pursuit of liberal political and economic philosophies, that's fine.
That's fine.
But what happens is, and I felt rather sorry for some of these people in Congress, the legislature, the House of Representatives, is especially some of the newer people in there, they have to go along with the party game.
Right.
or there are dire consequences. Now, these people plan when you go in there, this is going to be a lifetime career. That is the goal. That is right. The agenda. And in order to do that, unhappily, you have to give up your right to think for yourself. Yeah. You have to think for the or follow the party's thinking. Now, what they do, they would say, you go along with this, or when you're up for re-election, you get no support. Right. In fact, we will support your opponent in the primary.
Right. And well, so, remember back to New Jersey related, back when President Obama was in office, and I forget exactly the story, but Senator Menendez was speaking out on a topic that was not, well received by the President Obama and the administration, and he was basically left out there to dry out on a plank for a while. And
well, he probably dried out at this plush resort in the Dominican Republic. But that's another story.
You know, they left him swinging in the breeze for a little while.
You were talking about political people. You said that James Carville is back in town.
Yeah, I saw him on one of the shows yesterday. That he's very, very upset on the future of the direction of the Democratic Party. He says they're all over the place, and there's no way that they're going to be able to compete with President Trump in the upcoming election unless they get their message online and get more central.
Well, of course, because all they've done is harp on one thing for months and months right now. Nothing's gotten done. The country has so many problems. I mean, you start with immigration. You get certain areas of the economy. You get, crime. You just go down a whole litany. Yeah. The fact of the global warming and pollution. There's so many things that need to be dealt with, and yet you get nothing because they're all totally consumed with this hissy fit. Right.
And back to the State of the Union. There were so many accomplishments that you really can't deny, whether you like the president or not. I mean, the economy is doing very well. Wall Street reflects that. We're safer overseas. The list goes on and on.
And as I said, with the fact that the Wall Street thing, just remember, keep in mind, if you have especially a 401k or that type of pension, or if you depend, as many people do later in life, or not even now, on that to survive and take care of your family, this is good news. This is very good news.
And it looks like it even went up substantially since the verdict came out yesterday. So it was up over
500
points.
Yeah, James Carville, they better listen to him. This is a bright man.
Yeah, he changed the political, the way campaigning was done back in the 90s.
Absolutely. And he was in the Clinton campaign. He was one of the managers of the Clinton campaign. Yeah. He came up with this phrase, "It's the economy, stupid."
That's it.
Remember that?
Yep.
I don't think it made much sense, really, at the time, but But he's quite right. People stop and think about their own place where they're plugged into the economy.
Stay on message. Keep talking about it. And it got President Clinton elected.
He came into New Jersey to campaign for Governor Florio when he was running against Christy Whitman, which, of course, Christy Whitman won the contest. He was in New Jersey, and he used to call us, the radio station. First time he called, he said, "This is James Carville," and I was a little bit off there before we went on. And you're not sure, because you don't know, because he was much in the news at that time. Yeah. He was quite famous in political circles. And I said, "Well, how do I know that you're James Carville and not somebody, playing a trick of some kind?" And he said, "I'll tell you a joke." Okay. Now, remember, he was, the Clintons came from Arkansas. So Carville says, okay, here's the joke. Why did they cancel Halloween and Thanksgiving in Arkansas? I said, why? He said, well, the witch went to Washington and took the turkey with her. I said, okay, you're James Carville. and of course, he was one of their top advisors, but he had this great sense of humor. And
just watching him yesterday, 20 years later, he's still got it. He's still quick as a whip.
They better listen to him.
They better bring him in.
He is a sharp cookie.
And I think he didn't have anything good to say about any of the candidates. The Democratic candidates. I don't think he's happy with any of them. So who knows who is going to, when all is said and done, who is going to be the nominee?
There may be somebody that we don't even think about right now.
Hey, here's one for you. How about Mitt Romney?
Oh, God.
Do you think he would ever be considered as the Democratic nominee for this election cycle?
No,
even after he stood up to the president yesterday?
No, not at all. He's You know, unfortunately, his ego is sort of overpowering his sense of reason, I think.
But the Democrats embraced him. Oh, what a great American standing up to that. You know,
well,
you know,
another the Democrats got their butt kicked. They had to slink off of their tail between their legs, but they got to fight some kind of a rear guard action, you know, on their way to the outhouse. And so they're going to be a lot of chest thumping and, you know, congratulating one another for fighting the noble fight.
Now, back to House Speaker Pelosi. Do you think, you know, obviously her behavior was, I don't think it was appropriate at all for the State of the Union. Do you think she was just frustrated beyond belief as she's listening to the accomplishments being rattled off by the president and to the point where she's said to herself, I knew we should not have gone forward with this impeachment?
I think she probably somehow, it's like the football player who hears the footprints, you know, behind him.
Footsteps.
The footsteps behind him. I think she can see that this is a bad mistake.
Well, you know, Bob makes a good point that it was a lot of the young Democrats, the one who's the representative from New York.
AOC?
Yes. She was one of those saying, we got to impeach, got to impeach, got to impeach. And maybe she felt, all right. Fine.
And
well,
she
wasn't even
there at the State of the
Union.
She
boycotted. I mean, this is what happened. She obviously is bright enough and politically adept enough to know that this could end up as it did.
She had
so much pressure put on her by these people, and I think their reign of terror over the Congress, this group of what five young persons. I think that is abating a bit now. You don't hear that much about it. But I think she was kind of what terrified of them and maybe thought at the time, well, maybe this is going to take over. But she did somehow throw the towel in because the longest time she held out.
Yep.
And she held out for the very right reason. This would be cause instability of the government.
I'll bet you a lot of people felt frustrated that even on great accomplishments that affect everybody, not just a select few, that there was no recognition by the House Speaker. She would not stand up and clap for the young girl from the Philadelphia area who received that scholarship to go to the school of choice. There was no about the border policeman who was doing a great job. The Tuskegee Airman, the 100-year-old general that they up to a brigadier general on his 100th birthday, and his grandson who is going to go into the Air Force and hopefully go to the space program. There was no acknowledgement at all, no standing, no clapping, no nothing, and not even for the serviceman who was brought back from his leave to be reunited with his family.
I was just thinking while you were talking there, the line from Paradise Lost, you know, John Milton's great poem. It was the opening speech of Satan when he was thrown out of heaven and landed on earth and gathered some followers around him. And I think you could put this down to maybe some of their thinking. He said, all is not lost. The unconquerable will and study of revenge, immortal hate, with courage never to submit or yield, that glory never shall his wrath or might extort from us. So I think they're going to sort of go in, hunker down, and plot and start plotting revenge. The voice you heard was Dan Alexander. For people who aren't familiar with Dan, is our producer and good friend and crack newsman. Let's see, other things going on. Oh, great lamentations in Trenton today.
Oh, what's going on?
In the Justice Department. The ICE roundup yesterday, immigration people, they collared, I think it's 115, Dan, is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Illegal immigrants in the country who had committed crimes. And these crimes,
this is
it's
just
amazing that they got away with it.
Just in the state here, right?
In the state. Okay. There was a murder. There were murderers, assault, rape, pedophilia. It goes on and on. Everything but what? Jaywalking and Sabbath breaking, I think, they nailed these people for. So I guess they're scratching their heads now, the illegals, and saying, what kind of a sanctuary state is this?
What'd you call this, a sanctuary state? You promised we wouldn't get arrested.
You know, something else I didn't know reading that story this morning. Was that your story, Dan?
No, that was, I think, David.
David Matthau?
I think so.
Okay, well, David did the story. Great. I got another thing that David did, one of our excellent reporters here at this station. But another thing that I didn't realize, they said that in the story, it said that anybody who's been deported and returns to the country faces 20 years in jail.
I'm sorry, that was Aaron. Aaron wrote the story.
Oh, Aaron. Okay, Aaron wrote the story. Well, congratulations,
yeah,
Aaron.
Aaron's over there, too. Great job.
They got great news people. Yeah. They always did have great news people here. Anyway, that's...
That's a biggie with ICE. That's a real slap in the administration's face.
Well, no. They got an out. The Attorney General had tried to make it clear, and probably true, that in the edict that they had issued restraining law enforcement people in the state from getting involved in these things, they said the exception would be criminals, people who had committed crimes, major crimes. Right, Dan?
Yep.
They did say that all the time. So they're covered there, but they must be awfully disappointed. Yes. So,
and Bob, wasn't Bill Spadia on that?
Bill went on a special, I don't know which mission it was, but he went on a run with ICE earlier this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
great.
For his Chasing News show.
Great.
So he tagged along, and I think the show aired last night. I didn't get a chance to see it, but yeah, very, very fascinating stuff. Eye-opening stuff.
I congratulate Bill for his courage. I had the same opportunity when I worked in New York to go out with the local New York police on a foray. Scared the hell out of me. Yeah. I eventually said, "Let me out of the car. I can't take it." Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. There is a story that. I did want to get into this. We're jumping around here. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. If you catch me looking all over the place, I'm trying to follow a computer screen and talking to Dan, who is very important here in this.
And if you'd like to chime in, write your comments on the screen, and we'll try to address them. Absolutely.
I almost just sat here and read what I had said 10 minutes ago, coming back from the computer screen.
That's all right. I
wanted to get back to something that became somewhat personal. I had a bout in late November with atrial flutter, which is an electrical problem affecting the heart, not a heart problem per se. But as a result of it, I mean, everything worked out well. It was electrode converted, and everything is fine. But I was put on a prescription called Eliquis, and you may have seen this. They're pushing the hell out of it on television now. And it's an anticoagulant and blood thinner. It seems to be, it almost is a miracle drug. But anyway, temporarily, I'm on that till all this clears up. But so I went to have the prescription filled. And they said $47 copay. Now, I have very good prescription insurance, I thought. $47 copay for a month's worth.
That's not bad.
That's pretty stiff. So I said,
month. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is.
And I said, well, to the pharmacist, says, well, doesn't the prescription insurance cover this? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, what would happen if I just came in to buy it, if I didn't have insurance? $465.
Isn't that something?
For a month's worth.
Because I'll bet you they do not offer a cash discount.
Well, the problem, the thing here is you wonder, what about people who can't afford this? What do they do? I don't know.
I think they're really, really stuck. I mean, there are some assistance programs.
Well, yeah, but that...
Through Accredo and a couple of specialty pharmacies, they'll get you grants and stuff, but that's a real hoop to jump through.
Well, here's where I had an eye-opener. I get to, again, David Matthau, our reporter. He had a story, and I want to read this from his story, and I don't know, Bob, if you're familiar with this or not. But it turns out that half the cost you're paying for prescription drugs does not go to the company. Half of it. It does not go to the manufacturer. And Dan, you look kind of quizzical. You didn't know that either.
I did not know that.
Because you assume that the company's sitting here, you know, like a bunch of Scrooges rubbing their hands. We're going to fleece them again. Because we hear all these stories about them jacking the price up.
Right.
The EpiPen was a classic example.
Right. Oh, yeah.
There is a diabetes device. Okay, now here's David's story. A plan is moving forward in the legislature to lower the cost of prescription drugs for New Jersey residents. The plan calls for establishment of state bulk purchasing cooperatives and creating a prescription drug affordability board. Now, he continues, not such a good idea, says pharmaceutical industry, which you might imagine. They say such boards have had bad influence on patient access. Now, he doesn't get into that completely, but here is what a spokesman for the, during these hearings that they're having, they had a spokesperson for the pharmaceutical industry, said 40% of medicine's cost, its list price, is rebated back to entities in the supply chain, including pharmacy benefit managers, which are third-party administrators that set prices for prescription drugs. So you're talking about half of every dollar you spent, half of this $460 for pills, goes to
a third-party price setter.
Again, and so there's another buzzard circling the carcass of the sick,
right?
The lame and the halt. And it's going to someone other than to research, which the company says, well, we have to put out millions and millions in research. We have to recoup that. That's fair. But they don't say we also have to put out millions and millions of dollars for these young ladies in the black suits who come into their doctor's office when you're sitting there, go into the back room and deliver the box of donuts and other gratuities to the doctor and push give the
samples
and push
their pill. That certainly helps grease the wheel, that's for sure.
Well, that's okay. This is America. That's part of the game. So, but half of the money, there was a candidate, as I recall, and I do not recall the name, and I could be somewhat imprecise about this, but it seems to me there was a candidate one time who was self-funding his campaign like the very rich people do, the current governor, Governor Corzine and the like, MacArthur in the 3rd District. So the party gets a break. They don't have to put out the money. But he had made that money, and I do remember it was something to do with this process of the prescription manager, benefit manager. I don't know anything about that, but apparently this is somebody who is between the company and the actual distribution of the product.
This
also worked with the insurers.
Oh, I thought it was just the insurers with the pharmaceutical companies. No, but now you're saying that there's a third.
There's an independent. There's a third layer there, not just the insurance companies themselves, but somebody between apparently that. Let me do this, Peggy. I'm not sure about this. It says, use the app GoodRx. Better prices than using my prescription insurance. Makes no sense. Thank
really?
You, Peggy.
Okay.
That's something good to know.
Right.
So we'll have to check that out. I had never had to do that before because I never had a problem with it. Right. Because I didn't take any drugs, any prescriptions.
But 40 something a month for 1 month supply, that's
four
pretty steep,
supply.
Man. That's pretty big.
I remember once there was on, I think it was a 60 Minutes years ago, and maybe they've corrected this problem by now, but there was a couple who was dying of kidney failure,
yeah,
and couldn't afford the transplant or the dialysis. This was before everybody had insurance. And it was kind of sad to watch him because he knew he was going to die because he couldn't afford it. I mean, the remedy was there, but he couldn't afford it. That's, you don't get it. So, I got one thing I've got to do. And I wanted to call this, what planet is this? Who did the story, Dan? Which of our good writers did that story? And I'm sure I saw it on this station because that's where I get most of my news. A convicted pedophile had been granted by a court the right to appeal his conviction on grounds that pedophilia, or child molesting, or molesters, is a persecuted minority. Well, I mean, most of us sit here and say, well, thank God they are persecuted. Right. I mean, murderers are certainly a persecuted minority.
Yeah.
But the fact that a court allows him to go ahead and pursue the case based on that. Now, suppose he wins, gets some harebrained
He sets
jury
the precedent for future murderers.
Suppose he gets the O.J. jury.
Yep, that's it.
Speaking of O.J., that's what I was asking you, what planet is this? Now, you'll love this. You remember O.J. Simpson. Who can forget? O.J. Simpson is suing the Cosmopolitan Casino in Las Vegas for damaging his reputation by banning him from the casino for drunkenness and disruptive behavior.
Oh, man.
The casino responded that it couldn't possibly have tarnished Simpson's reputation because he is a convicted felon, widely believed to have killed his ex-wife and her friend.
Hey, speaking of OJ, Ford is putting the Ford Bronco back into production.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. You have to go out and drive one slow on the parkway.
And I wonder if they're going to be offering it in white.
They could do that as a special, some kind of a commemorative thing. Get everybody who has a white Bronco to get in a daisy chain.
Like a parade,
chain.
Yeah.
Here's another one you'll love. Yale University is scrapping its renowned freshman course called Introduction to Art History. Introduction to Art of the Renaissance. In response to what they call student uneasiness about the overwhelmingly white and straight artists. Of course, I've heard rumors about the artists. Anyway, the professor says, now get this. This is a course in Renaissance art. And I took such a course one time. It wasn't at Yale, but I did take such a course, a very interesting course. But he said he will teach the course for the final time this year, but now emphasized gender, class, race, and climate change.
I don't think those are big in the Renaissance era.
Where are we going, and why are we in the handbasket? Wow. I told you, I think, before, but University of Washington, a professor is calling out SpongeBob SquarePants for racism. I've decided, if I don't know who is the looniest of the loony left candidates. I'm going to support them 100%.
Right. Hey, so...
Because I would love to... I think this country is in bad, bad trouble. I'd like to see the chaos that would call if you elect, one of these twits that you had mentioned, Dan, to the presidency. The country would be in a total chaos, and maybe you get close to being able to push some kind of a restart button.
It's going to be very interesting, because I personally think the fix is in for Bernie. I think they're out to get him. They're ready to stamp on him, because he's doing too well.
Well, who... You look at the... Well, they've winnowed out some of the candidates.
Right.
Did they ever settle, Dan and Bob, did they ever settle the Iowa thing? The last I heard, they had about...
It was 86-87%.
I think it was actually 96% that they had.
So Mayor Pete...
Who actually ended up first?
Well, it's Mayor Pete and Sanders, Bernie Sanders, are like...
One percentage points.
That shows the problem we have. Here's this mayor of a relatively small city. What the hell has he learned in his career about running a great country? Absolutely nothing. All he's going to do, he will have great appeal to the festive lobby and certain others.
And he's 37. He's just 2 years above the minimum age to become president.
Well, that's all right. Kennedy wasn't that far above it either.
Right, but
it turned out he was doing quite well.
Kennedy had a lot more experience at that point.
Oh, sure. He'd been in the Senate. He'd been in the Congress.
Look at President Obama.
He's been in Hollywood for a dip or two.
We have 90s as of 4:10 this morning.
Yeah.
We had 96% of the vote counted. Mayor Pete has 26.2%. Sanders has 26.1%. Elizabeth Warren, 18%.
Who was third?
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren is at third with 18%, and Biden has 15.8%.
How about the other lady?
Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah.
She is at 12%.
I rather like
She's
her.
Right behind Biden.
She seems sincere, very sincere.
Well, Biden's it's an interesting thing. Have they ever considered that if it turns out, and this is hypothesizing, if it turns out that Biden and his son were involved in some illegal chicanery in the Ukraine, then he would be a possible candidate for impeachment if he won the presidency. But look at it this way. Let's say that it turns out that there was, and there are those who propose that this did happen. I don't know, but it would not be unusual for politicians to use their leverage to enhance their own position. But suppose that turns out it was, and
sounds like House of Cards. Sounds like that TV show House of Cards.
But suppose that happened, that he was involved in. And again, it's hypothecating. But suppose it did happen, and the Trump administration in Washington had known about it. Trump would be committing a crime by not pursuing this, wouldn't he? Knowing that an American citizen was somehow involved in illegal activity with a foreign government, this Justice Department would have to pursue that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So before we go, Kirk Douglas passed away at the ripe old age of 103.
103.
Did you have any interviews with him?
No, never. He was a person I never crossed paths with. Unfortunately, I'd love to have a conversation with him.
But I'd like to mention, he is the original Spartacus.
Well, in the movies.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
He is Spartacus. He was Spartacus.
You got the feeling when they take pictures of him at the age of 100, he could still get up and put on the shield and gird his loins in leather thongs.
Kick your can down the road, yeah.
Go out into the arena. So, well, listen, I'm sorry.
One more thing, please. I was watching the vote yesterday, and I was just taking note on some of the unusual names of some of the senators from some other states.
Okay.
All right, so we have a senator, and I'll spell it out, Senator C-R-A-P-O. Pronounces his name Crapo, so it could be.
Well,
he
wouldn't
A.
pronounce it the other
well,
way.
Well, you never know. I'm sure he had some problems growing up.
He wouldn't use the soft A.
Senator Duckworth.
Yeah,
that was a different name. How about Senator Sinema?
Really?
Yeah.
How does he spell it?
With an S.
These are United States senators.
Yep. Here's a good one. Senator Stabenow. Stab me now. Stabbing now.
Whoa.
Senator Schatz.
Oh, he's Stabbing now. His first name is not Jack, is it?
No. Senator Schatz. Sounds like he's good at cocktail parties.
Schatz?
Yeah.
Gotta be careful with that.
Hey,
one.
And he's probably hanging out with Senator Boozman.
That
or I think he's called Boozman, but it's spelled B-O-O-Z-M-A-N.
Yeah.
So that was a good laugh while I was watching the vote yesterday.
Well.
Oh, and there's one guy, Senator Whitehouse. His
really?
Name is Senator Whitehouse.
Well, he'd be a great candidate, wouldn't he? Okay.
So there we go.
Namaste.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.